John, how are you this morning?
Good, Tony. How you doing?
Good, good. I always keep up with what's going on in Detroit. I'm from Mount Clemens, grew up there, go down to Detroit quite a bit. When people talk badly about that city, it makes me mad, and I usually defend it. Mm-hmm. And therefore, in my lifetime, I haven't seen Detroit really thrive. And I've always wanted that, as I've been to many cities around the country. And John has written a book. He has some interesting ideas to talk about in regards to what can be done to revitalize Detroit, to help Detroit to get back to prominence. And I wanted to ask you, John, what gave you the idea to write the book?
Well, I think it became apparent to a lot of people a few years ago that the traditional redevelopment strategies weren't getting the job done. I mean, the city was still losing population, buildings were still emptying out. We're still a really large city of around 800,000, so still a top 15 city. But, you know, all this vacancies that we've gotten since, you know, we went from 2 million people to 800,000, that wasn't going to go away. And the issue is not so much can we redevelop, you know, this stadium or this casino, but it's sort of, you know, what do we do with, you know, how do we take the land that we have in the city and do something useful with it and not just let it sit there abandoned? And so I started to look at other cities around the country and around the world and talking to a whole bunch of people and trying to come up with some ideas of how to sort of right-size Detroit.
All right. The name of the book is called Reimagining Detroit. Am I right on that?
Reimagining Detroit.
Okay. Reimagining Detroit. Has that been released yet?
Yeah, should be in stores now. You can get it at any of the Borders and Barnes & Nobles or Amazon.com, or you can order it directly from Wayne State University Press.
Well, let's talk about reimagining Detroit. It seems like there's a lot of emphasis put on education, and the school system in Detroit is one of the worst in the world. Is that one of the key places we could start to get Detroit back on its feet?
Well, I think that there's a couple of, you know, really, really big problems like public safety and the school system. And, you know, people are doing what they can. I mean, with charter schools and with Robert Bob's reforms and, you know, some of the federal programs that are coming in to help the schools. My book deals mainly with three areas. One is with land use, which is what do you do with all the vacant land? And it looks at a whole bunch of strategies like, like urban farming and the pros and cons of that. It also looks at trying to some new entrepreneurial business models since the auto century is no longer something we can depend on. And it also looks at new governance models, how to sort of devolve power from a fairly dysfunctional and broke city government down to, you know, other ways to manage parts of Detroit.
Have you had an opportunity to talk with Detroit Mayor Dave Bing and other city officials about some of your ideas? Any response to your thoughts?
Well, the mayor and his people have, of course, have their own effort underway right now. They're calling it the Detroit Works Project or the Strategic Framework, and they're having community meetings around the city, even as we speak. I think there's one tonight, actually, in which they're trying to get ideas, asking sort of the same questions I do in the book. I mean, it's not so much how did we get here, but where do we go from here? And I think that, you know, the question or the assumption you have to make is that you can be a smaller city than Detroit has been, but still be a better city. There's a lot of cities that are smaller than Detroit, like Seattle or Vancouver, that are considered world-class cities that are considerably smaller in population than Detroit. So size is not going to determine, you know, how great a city we are. Its question is, how do we get there?
I like to talk about Detroit. I get some folks asking me, well, why do we care about that in Lansing? But we need for Detroit to thrive, because that's going to help the whole state, isn't it, John?
Yeah, it is. It's hard to imagine that Michigan is going to turn around its issues until Detroit turns around its issues. So I think that, I understand if you live far from Detroit, maybe you don't care too much about the city or you never get there. But I think for the good of all of us, we have to sort of solve the Detroit problem.
How important is a new governor going to be when it comes to helping Detroit get back on its feet?
Well, that's a good question, Tony. You know, I mean, we're going to have a new governor one way or the other, and there will be some sort of urban policy. I think that I guess what I look for from the new governor is to solve sort of the state budget problems and get the state governance back on track, and hopefully you know, I mean, we've had 10 pretty rough years here. So, you know, dating from the later John Engler years. And so, I mean, I look for the governor to do that. I think that Detroiters have to solve a lot of their own problems. It's more important who the next leaders in Detroit are than who the next governor is, I guess.
Well, it's real interesting when you go back and look at the history of Detroit. When Coleman Young was there, you could say perhaps the infrastructure was kind of put in place for dysfunction. The school district has been historically dysfunctional. And now you look at the state of a lot of Detroit, and it's taken years and years, and they try to root out the culture, and it just seems to be a never-ending process.
Yeah, you're right, Tony. And one of the issues, and I live in the city, I've lived here for many years now, but one of the things that's puzzling about Detroit to a lot of us is why it takes so long to get anything done, why reform takes so long. And I think that there is sort of a dysfunctional governance culture in the city, and you know, people have different theories about why that developed, but we really have to a lot of other cities that have lost as many people as Detroit has, you know, half the population, have done more, have made more and more effective efforts at recovery than this city has. Cleveland, for example, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh has fewer than half the people of Detroit, but it's and you know, it lost its steel mills, but it's kind of turned itself around to a greater degree. So I think Detroit needs to understand that there's a basic cultural problem here that we've got to kind of grapple with.
John, why did, in your estimations, did Dennis Archer leave? He seemed to be doing a good job. He brought together a lot of people. He was very credible, and it seemed like he left the job too soon.
Well, you know, after Mayor Young served five terms, I think everyone assumed that every other mayor wanted to do that. And when for a mayor to serve two terms, as Dennis Archer did, 8 years, and then move on, I think people were surprised. I was surprised. And as you said, he didn't have any major issues, any problems that would hurt him necessarily in re-election. But I think he decided that being mayor of Detroit was not a job for life. It's something he gave his all to for two terms, and then he was going to move on and let someone else try it.
It just seemed like he wasn't done yet. I know perhaps if you look at his agenda, but it seems like Detroit needed another term for him to really set the roots and the foundation for success.
Well, I think that it's an interesting question about leadership. The most interesting ideas right now are coming not necessarily from City Hall, but from the community groups who are working on the ground in certain neighborhoods like Midtown Detroit and Southwest Detroit, where there's a lot of good work being done by the local activists, a lot of great work from foundations, a lot of great work at the university level. Corporations are doing a lot, people like Dan Gilbert and Pete Carmanos and the Illiches. So I think that leadership, you know, comes in a lot of varieties, a lot of styles, and it doesn't necessarily hang on one person in the Manoogian Mansion, who's the mayor. I mean, the city has to move on when Dennis Archer leaves, when Kwame Kilpatrick leaves, when Dave Bing leaves someday. And, I think in some ways we're all responsible for, you know, to step up and provide some leadership.
Do you think Detroit will be turned around in your lifetime?
I think Detroit will be better in my lifetime. Yeah, I think that there's a saying that nothing works, but everything might. That is, there's no one thing that's going to, quote, turn around the city. But if you try 100 things and they all move the needle one percentage point or something, then you're starting to make some progress. So I think there's no question Detroit can make progress in our lifetime.
Reimagining Detroit by Detroit Free Press writer John Gallagher. It's available through the Wayne State University Press, and I imagine we can find that in bookstores everywhere.
I think so. If it's not there, they can order it. I mean, it's out and it's available right now.
All right, John. Thanks so much. Always enjoy talking with you.
Thank you, Tony, very much.